Feeling a little bit better tonight, so pray for her. She's hoping to be able to make it tomorrow and Wednesday. In the meantime, let's see what God has for us tonight. Come, Ben.
Jeremiah chapter 2 tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 2. We're getting reading in verse number 13. Down through verse 15. Actually, I'm going to change that. I want to go to verse 11 here tonight. And go down through verse 13. Verse 11. The Bible says, "Hath the nation changed their gods?" Of course, it's speaking here, folks, of the nation of Israel. All right, God is speaking to the nation of Israel. "Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your grace, for your goodness. And Lord, I pray you challenge each one of our hearts tonight. And I pray you draw us so close to you. And Lord, in the midst of this crazy world and everything that's going on, and all the distractions and all the things that are happening, the things that fill our minds, Lord, would we see, Lord, as Mary did, what is the most needful thing tonight? Please have your will and your way. We need you desperately. We need you, Lord, just to keep us on track and thinking correctly at this time. In Christ's name, amen. Now, as we come to Jeremiah chapter 2, as you read down through verses 1 and through the end of the chapter, the Lord, once again, he's pleading with his people, Israel, to come out of idolatry. They were and they were in really bad shape here. And when I say idolatry, folks, you're talking about the idol worship of the region of Canaan, and you're talking about occult worship and different things. And these people saw manifestations of demons and everything else when they worshiped. So it wasn't just that they bowed down to a statue, all right, which we often think that. I mean, I even thought that a lot when I was young in the Lord and heard, oh yeah, these people bow down to statues. I thought, well, that's foolish. Well, no, they actually see manifestations and power in that thing. All right, that's why they did it. That's what paganism is. And so that's what's going on here, and Israel's in the thick of it. And God's calling them out. All right, he's calling them out. And a lot of times, people with the occult and different things, they do some of these things because they can see it. Well, listen, people that serve the living God, we walk by faith, not by sight. And there is power. There's power in the blood of the Lamb of God. And so, but nonetheless, these people here, that's what they were doing. And God's calling them back. He wants them to be in a life of submission and sweet communion with him. And as Israel, the Old Testament, would often forsake the Lord. Folks, we in this church age today, even as we go to, go to a local church and serve the Lord, maybe even get in our Bible every day, and we should. I hate to say just maybe, but the truth is, I'll go to churches sometimes and walk through the pews after when we're away, and the guy's Bible will be laying there. The Bible's laying all over the place. Now, maybe he has a home Bible and a pew Bible. I don't know, But I don't think it's getting read through the week. You know what I'm saying? So, and again, I'm just saying, we get distracted, right? And we get busy. Sometimes it's laziness, by the world and everything that's going on in everyday life. But the first thing I want us to see in this passage here in verse number 12 as we come down through here is we fail to see the heart of God. We doubt his love. We doubt his tenderness. We know what's going on in our lives and but and in our mind's eye, in our heart, we don't sense his presence. We fail to see his heart. Look at verse 12 here. It says this. It says, "Be astonished." Now listen, here he is, the God of all creation, right? And he's not appealing to man in verse 12 in particular. He's appealing to the heavens. He's appealing to nature itself. He's appealing to the creation here. And you hear me tonight, and you prove from the Word of God his relationship with that creation. The moon, the stars, the sky, even the animals. I was down in Georgia on a hunting trip, you know, and I'm sitting in this tree stand in the middle of the afternoon, this owl's hooting. Hoo, 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 hoo. I couldn't believe it. I thought they came out at night. No, sir. This guy's giving us the goods in the day. And he was. And the owl's all over the place. I don't know if it was breeding season or what it was, but listen, God put those things into doing what they do, all right? Whether it's animals, whether it's the stars, whether it's the wind and the sea, they obey him, right? So again, here he is appealing to the heavens. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. He's saying, look, he is grieved. His heart is grieved because of his people. That's how much he cares. And he's telling, he's appealing to his creation. Matthew 8 and verse 27 say about Jesus Christ, even the winds and the sea obey him. Right? Isaiah 40, verse 25 through 26, and whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? You know what he said? He said, lift up your eyes and behold. And he's speaking about the sky. Who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number, who calleth them all by names. That's the stars he's talking about. Who calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might. For that he, that's God, is strong in power. Not one faileth. Not one fails without him knowing it. Without him allowing it. You see, Isaiah 48 and verse 13, the Bible talks about when God calls to the heavens, they stand up together. They stand in salute. At attention, but he gives man a choice. He gives man a choice. He loves us. No doubt, God has that power over the creation. And yet, all that, the crowning act of all God's creation was on day six when he made man in his own image. God's heart is revealed in these verses here. In Jeremiah 2, he yearns for, he desires a relationship with you and with me personally. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Listen, that word communion has to do with things in common. The root word of the word communion is in common. What we have in common with Christ. That's what communion is. You know, it's not the ceremony that we do. I don't even think that's the right name for it anyway. Listen, communion is you and God in the secret place. That's communing with him. That's you having common ground with him. Right? That's why pornography is no good, right? Whether it's pornography or some wicked video game or trash on social media or trash anywhere. Billboard signs, whatever it is, it isn't common with Christ. That's why there's no fellowship. You see, we don't need a bunch of rules. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not go to the movies. Thou shalt not watch TV. Thou shalt not have a phone. We don't need all those kind of things. You know why? Because the Christian, in his heart and his mind, if he wants to commune with God, he'll say, nah, I don't think so. Right? You see the difference? Folks, we're not bound by the set of rules. The truth sets you free, my friend. Amen. It sets you free. And that's what a walk is with Christ. And he walks with me, and he talks to me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You see. And again, it's a relationship that he's after. And you say, preacher, well, we know this, that's all. But you know what? I fear tonight, it could be that there's some sitting here tonight, your priorities aren't right. And you know it. Now, we know God knows it, amen? He knows. But you know what? We do too. We have a conscience. You know, and our priorities aren't quite right. We know it. We don't have that night, that peace, that wonderful peace coming down from the Father above, right? Many times, because we're distracted. We fail to see the heart of God through our circumstance and our situation. And he's pleading here. He's pleading with his people. I know of a young boy that grew up in New York City. I think it was, or not New York City, it was in Elmira, New York. All right? His dad and his mom, they couldn't hold down a job. The kids, him and his brother there, it was him and his brother together, and they could hardly got to school or eat any decent meals. And when the dad and mom weren't drunk, they fought. All right, they were always on high or strung out on drugs somehow, and the school, the police or whatever is always showing up trying to get the kids back in school and everything. But the parents lived an immoral and wicked life. They cheated on each other. They ended up in divorce. The boys ended up in foster homes, in and out of bad situations in that system. And you hear testimony of guys that get saved out of that system. I know a guy down here in Huntington, I hear his testimony. It just brings you to tears and what happened in that system and the abuse and everything that goes on. Guy got saved, and man, he tells people about Christ and really can relate to those kids going through those situations. Hey, listen, God cares. All right, he's not the problem. No, sir. God's the answer. But this young fella here, one time he got in a foster home, and as he gives testimony, he talked about how this one was different from all the other ones. The lady of the house would take him to church, tell him about the gospel, make him nice meals, and really take care of him and everything. And one night, I don't know where his brother was necessarily, but one night, he looked in this lady's bedroom, and there she was, on her knees, with her face down on the bed, praying for the young fella and his brother, asking God to please save him. Please save Ronnie. Please save Ronnie. And you know, right there, now, she never knew that he was listening. And not long after that, he gave his life to Christ. Why? Because nobody ever cared for him like this lady. But you know, nobody ever cared for him like Jesus, right? That's really what it is. You see, Jesus has come to seek and to save. Watch it now. If you're sitting here tonight and you're saved, it's because Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he uses people to do it. He does. That's why we need to be a witness. That's why you need to be smiling, be friendly. That's why when you get to a restaurant and you want to complain about the food, maybe you better not. Right? Maybe you better just say, you know, hey, thank you very much. Everything was fine and whatever. All right? Because, listen, people watch. People know. Listen, we're locals here. Grace Baptist Church is local, right? Sure it is. And people know. People know. And again, it matters. Because he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. And right here in Jeremiah chapter 2, God's pleading with these people to turn from the idols and go to him. You say, well, I just don't have time to spend time with the Lord. And I just don't have to. Well, listen, whatever it is that's taking that time is an idol. You think I'm not preaching to me tonight? Mm-hmm, I am. Run a business, right? Got some things going on in my life, sure. Do some preaching. You know, those kind of things. And you say, well, preaching, serving the Lord, preaching, doing it. You know what it is? If I'm not right with God and I'm not taking time with God, preaching is busy work, friends. I'm not kidding you. It is. As important as it is to stand behind that sacred desk and preach the Word of God, it's busy work if I'm not fellowshipping with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just how it is. And so, again, we need to think on this. And I guess my heart tonight and my challenge tonight is, even before we get to right into it here, is hey, listen, you need to meet with God. You need to meet with God more. You need to meditate on His Word. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. You know what a perfect heart is? Lord, I need You. I need You, Lord. Love that old song, I need thee every hour, right? I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. I think that's how it goes. I'm sure you folks know it a lot better than I know it, but if I could just hear it in that tune, I'd know. But yeah, every hour. He wants to draw you unto Himself. So number one, we fail to see the heart of God in our lives many times because we're just so busy. But number two, looky here now at verse number 13. Number two, in verse number 13, for my people have committed two evils. By the way, this verse right here in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13 is probably the theme verse of the book of Jeremiah. All right? It kind of says it in the nutshell. All right? They're heading toward captivity, people. All right? That's what they're doing. And you hear me. If you are distracted and you're blinded by the limelight of the world and everything else and not focusing on Christ, listen, you're held captive too. We are. Listen, Jesus Christ enhances our lives tremendous. Listen, you were born, all right? You are created in order for him to inhabit you and to know, and for you to, for him to live through you. That's what we're made for. You know. We're not fulfilling our purpose if we're not spending that time with him and walking with him. We forsake him. So look at here. It says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The first thing is, we've forsaken him. And I'm talking about meeting with him. Giving to him. Receiving from him. All right? I think of that verse there in the book of Hebrews, about a sacrifice of praise. You know, we don't bring lambs to an altar anymore, right? That's what they did in the Old Testament. We don't use lambs or goats or anything like that. No. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God which has taken away the sin of the entire world. That is why we don't. He is our Passover lamb. He's our lamb. And we are free from all that. But there's a sacrifice, Hebrews tells us, of praise. That's a sacrifice now. It's praise. It can be to the neighbor. It can be to your family members. It can be. But you know what? There's something about that sweet communion time between a believer and his God. Maybe it's out on the porch in the morning. Maybe it's watching the sun come up. Whatever it is, listen, folks, really, it needs to be real. Not just something you just go through the motions on. I'm talking about something real. Listen, these old boys, you remember old Charles Finney and you talk about some of those old revivalists, Whitfield who's the guy that wrote to him so much, Wesley, you know. These guys experienced God. That's why they preached. That's why the Catholic Church hated them so bad, you know. Because the Catholic Church has a regimen. You do this, this, and this, and confess to the priest, it all works out, and whatever else they do that's right in with paganism, all right? But they experienced Christ. Have you? Have you experienced him? Do you know him personally? Hey, people who sit in church 50 years and never experienced Jesus Christ, never know him. It's true. Can't even say they have. But they're not really sure what you mean. And believe me, they don't. I had that old girl who told me, I used to lift weights with a guy, and his mother was always asking me about the Lord. She'd say, Ben, do you know the Lord? I'd say, oh, yeah. I said, I'm Lutheran, I told her. She goes, no, I didn't ask you that. She goes, Ben, do you know the Lord? I said, no. I finally get out of her house because I just couldn't wait to get away from her. I didn't know what she's talking about. And she made me feel so bad, you know, because she really felt I was missing something. I had no idea what she said. I'd say to her son, I'd say, Sean, I said, your mother's always giving me that about knowing the Lord. What's she talking about? She goes, oh, she's crazy. Yeah. But that woman witnessed to me. She had cancer. She didn't have any hair. And she's always telling me how good God was. I'm looking at her life, and I'm thinking, lady, you're crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I look back, and she's one of the people. Of, you know, I can count in my hand how many people witnessed to me. Mrs. Duncan was one of them. I'll go hug her neck today. Made a tremendous difference in my life. I didn't think it did at the time. I look back, and I say, yeah, God's real in her life. God's real. It's real, amen? It's real. Yes. And I'll tell you, it can seem awful fake to you if you don't meet with God, if you don't have time with him in the morning. Folks, I'm talking about a time with God, in whether it's in the morning and whether it's in the day. It might be in the middle of the afternoon. Okay? Now listen, a man or a woman who is in touch with God, watch it now, God will call him or her to prayer at 2:30 in the afternoon. You say, get out of here. Who has time for that? Make time. He's worthy. Do you think you're going to get before the throne someday and you're going to get scolded for not meeting with him? Mm-mm. No. Take 5 or 10 minutes, go out and get behind a shed. Get away from the kids a little bit. Get away from the racket, whatever it is, right? And focus on it. Okay? Life's busy. Life's busy. Okay? You young people, listen. Those that seek him early shall find him. That's what it says. That's what it says. Yes, sir. I'm so glad he means what he says. Yep. We forsake him. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Psalm 145, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Who gives those big old bucks a drink in the hollow, right? In the mountain? Who gives that to them? Do you think it's the state? Right? You think it's because of all their fancy rules they have? And they're called the Commonwealth. It's really not. You can't do anything with it anyway. They arrest you. You do anything with that. These guys that have these 1,000 or 199 year leases, you go to cut a tree down, and they got to get permission from the state to do it. Big dead tree looks like a woodpecker's lunch pail over the guy's cabin, right? You're not allowed to cut it down. Well, what's part of the Commonwealth? And you'll have to pay for the wood if you take it out. Isn't that right, Corb? It's really a Commonwealth. No. No, God does it. It's about him. Yeah. Yep. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Matthew 6 and verse 31 tells us, listen, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? God says, no, I'm going to take care of you. The Lord is taking care of his people, and he will take care of his people. I've got a question for you. Are you for sure? Do you know that you know tonight that you're one of his? Do you know it? Oh, I know it. Just know it. You know it. Can you wake up in the middle of the night? And can you say, in the middle of the night, you know, and your wife or your husband's there sleeping, and you say, am I truly saved? Lord, am I yours? Something will come back to you if you are. Because it's something that you know. That you know. You see. Have you received that? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That's what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 8, about verse 14. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God, and of children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's pretty big, isn't it? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. When he sits in that millennial kingdom on the throne of David, joint heirs. Folks, that's a marriage. Yeah. That's what it is. Joint heirs. Yep. I got one of my daughters, all right, gets headaches from time to time pretty bad. I guess everybody does, but one gets a little worse than the other. And she'll say, Daddy, or she'll say, Mama, I've got a headache. And the first thing Jennifer and I will say is like, hey, did you drink enough of water today? She goes, well, you know, I don't know. You know, well, why do we say that? Well, dehydration brings on a headache, all right? That's no doubt. Dehydration will bring on cramps and heat strokes, and when it's real hot, and kidney problems if you don't drink enough, and dizziness and fatigue. And, you know, our bodies need water to live and to function. And imagine if I just got up out of my bed one day and said, you know, all this drinking water stuff, I'm done with it. How long would I last? About 3 days. That's what they say. I never tried it, but I'm not figuring on doing it neither. All right? But about 3 days. Exactly. Why? Because the body needs water. I was talking to a contractor this winter, and there was snow on the ground. It was just terrible weather, and he couldn't get out and do his work. His wife had cancer so bad, and she's very, very sick. And he was really sharing with me, just you know, it's hard to take care of her. And in and out of the hospital, and he did this job, and guy owes him a couple thousand bucks and didn't pay him. And all these things just keep weighing on the guy. He's got to get firewood in. He's got a hernia. I mean, the man's having a time with all this thing. And I really felt for him the whole time. And he said this, he says, Ben, he says, I just feel like I can't do it. I just want to quit. He said, I have no motivation. I don't feel like getting up in the morning. I feel like I'm always running behind. I feel like a failure. Talk about depression and loneliness. Do you ever feel that way? You feel like you're in a fog, right? You feel like you're numb. Yet, there's still a fear of whatever, okay? Isn't that something? You can have that feel that down, but then you still have these fears that come in. Still abounds in your heart. It's like the weight of the world's on you, right? You know, our frames, our souls weren't made. We weren't created to hold up to that. We weren't. You see, the point is, we are human beings made in God's image, and our physical, watch it now, our physical and spiritual, emotional makeups are fragile and they are complex. And just as our literal bodies need water, sir, ma'am, you need Jesus Christ, the fountain of living waters. That's what we need. It's a person. John 7 and verse 37, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me. This is what Jesus said. If any man thirsts, listen, Jesus Christ yelled this across a crowd, maybe thousands. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's he equating drinking to? Believing. Believing what? The book. His words. His words. That's what. Psalm 1 and verse 3. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. Do you hear it now? Doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree. Think of it. He shall be like a tree planted beside the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isaiah 44 and verse 3, God says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Listen to the verse, please. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass. He's talking about his kids. Talking about, it's teaching of the nation of Israel. He said, listen, if you're thirsty, if you want my word, if you want me, I'll give it to you. And I'll pour my spirit out upon your children. Think that's a promise for us today? Hey, I know it's not exactly to us, but we serve the same God. It can apply. Dad and mom, are you thirsty? Are you spending time with God? Are you following after him like that deer going to the water brooks? I mean, it's been said, I mean, guys know that hunt, you shoot a deer, where do it runs downhill to water. There's a reason for that, right? It needs it. Are you running to the water? He's saying, come to me. Come to me. Our families. Well-being, in many ways, do depend on us, parents. The blessing of God upon them. Listen. Yeah, what was Job doing? Job was praying for his kids, making a sacrifice for his kids. All right? What? Dad and mom, they need your prayers. They need your thoughts. Their futures are at stake here. They need a vision of the Word of God passed on from you to them. That's what they need. I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows. How fast do willows grow? They grow as willows. Isn't it interesting? The Bible used willows. You can't get rid of willows, people, right? The seeds fall in willows everywhere, right? You cut willows off and they just sprout out every place. You can take a willow and you don't even need roots. You stick in the ground and that thing grows. It's like a forsythia. Yeah. As willows by the watercourses, by the creeks, That's what he's talking about. It's cranks. All right? That's how we want our kids. That's blessing. This water, as the Bible calls it, is the Word of God, but it's perspective on life. Listen, you'll get perspective from the book, from Jesus Christ. You'll get wisdom, direction, comfort, communication with deity. Listen, it is the person of Christ. And the Bible says here in verse 13, they've forsaken me. Could it be said of you tonight? Could it be said? I wonder of our souls, they get cast down and we get depressed and we get stressed out because we're not taking in what we so desperately need, and it's Christ. And there's some here tonight that you've got misplaced priorities. Is that you tonight? Do you delight in Him? Is He your exceeding joy tonight? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Desires, I think the word is. The desires of thine heart. You see, we fail to see His heart. We forsake Him. And number three, and finally tonight, we search for fulfillment in all the wrong places. Look at verse 13. I'm going to start at the top of the verse there. It says, For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns. Listen, these aren't even good cisterns, people. These are broken, right? They're stagnant water in a cistern. But these babies here, they're broken. That's really bad, all right? Broken cisterns that can hold no water, all right? In Bible times, it took much work to make an effort to make a cistern. Oftentimes, they would dig way down there, 6 or 8 feet, okay? And they'd lay block. And they'd put mortar on these things. And they'd make this thing watertight. And in the wet season, they'd let it run in there, put ditches so that water would run in there. And then when the dry season came, they'd open up that pit. Now imagine looking at 6, 8, 10 weeks of dry weather coming, and you had nothing. You open up that cistern, you got mud in the bottom of it. That's it. You know. And here in Jeremiah chapter 2, he says, my people are looking in the wrong places. We said social media, TV shows, news. Sometimes the news is you don't even know what news to watch half the time, right? You know, and I'll tell you what, even the people that are closest to us, our spouses, our family, our relationships, you know, listen. We need this water. We need the Word of God so that we can build those relationships with our spouses, with our children. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Well, how's He going to build it? Well, Dad, He's going to build it through you. Mom, He's going to build it through you. Young people, He's going to build it through you. You see, we all have a hand in this, and it's up to you. Except the Lord build the house. Listen, young people, someday you're going to have a future house. You know, and you can build it on the sand, or you can build it on the rock. Right? Don't you think you ought to get started now? What's God speaking to you about tonight, young people? Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you have time that you spend with God, fellowship time with Him? I know of a married couple. Used to live up north. And they were up north there, and it's just so cold up Wisconsin area toward Canada and all that. And it's just so cold, and some things were going on in their church, and things were they were just so discontent, and they just thought, boy, we just need to move south. And they just got so bothered by it, and almost depressed about it. I said, man, we're just going to move. So they moved to the south. Well, the next thing you know, they get down to the south of there, and not too long, they're saying, boy, it's just so hot down here. I'm not kidding. It's just so hot down here. Things aren't so good here, you know, and they're not sure about this, and not sure about that, and they're getting bothered about that and about this. Why am I telling you this? You know why? Because we're people. And we always think the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. You know, it's not. The question is, what does God want you to do? That's the question. Why not like this? This is, what does the Lord want? You know, have you ever thought this thought right here? You ever think this? If this one thing in my life was changed, everything would be okay. This one circumstance. This one person that I don't want to deal with. This family conflict that I don't want to deal with. If this one thing was changed, it would all work out. Or if I had this other job, if I could just deal with this coworker. Or, you know, some people, if I had this piece of property. If I had this new camper, this new boat or car or bucket truck, right? Or whatever it is you think. If I had this, life would be good. You know what every one of us really need? The fountain of living waters. Guys, that's what we need. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. He's given us all things. He's given us those things. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. There's an old song. I don't know that we sing it here. If we have it, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Sometimes, hey, do you ever get depressed sitting in your chair at home? I got this chair at home, and I put my feet up in it, you know, and everything, and it kind of sits lopsided, but I still like it, okay? I like that chair, and I don't want to get rid of it, even if it sits lopsided, because I don't care. And so I sit in that chair, and sometimes, you know, in the wintertime when we're not working so much, when I'm busy, I'm pretty good, but when I'm winter, I get kind of depressed, and I sit there. And I think, what am I doing? It's cold out. I do not want to go outside. Okay? Watch some filthy thing on social media or something, or something TV thing. It's like, man, that'll fry my brain. And I don't know what to do. And I get depressed. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching a squirrel out on the swing set, you know? And then that song comes to mind. You know what? Just trust me. Trusting Jesus. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus. You know what, Lord? I'm fulfilled in you. Lord, I'm going to choose. Watch it. Watch this. Lord, I'm going to choose to be satisfied with you. You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about a love relationship, a fellowship divine with the Lord Jesus. You see, I'm just going to, it's simple. It's, folks, it's childlike faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what it is. That's what this book is about. Yeah, there's things in it we don't understand, but boy, there's things that are just clear as a bell, aren't there? Yeah, and trust in him. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, Lord, I'm just going to trust you even though I don't really get it. Happy in Jesus, happy all the way. Didn't we sing a song about that tonight? Right? Just trust him. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. How many heard that verse before? Thou wilt, yes, sir. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, I want you to think about this. I just love that. I love that verse that God says, I'll guide thee with mine eye. You know, I need guidance. I know I do, all right? Thou wilt show me the path of life. He's just going to do it. Why? Well, he said it. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Now, I want you to think about that middle part of that verse, fullness of joy. If you're worrying, if you've got worry, well, you need to get in his presence because right there's no worry. Because it's fullness of joy, amen? You see what I'm saying? Well, I'm depressed and I'm not sure what to do with myself and I just want to rip my face off. You ever feel like that? Yeah. Yeah. But wait a minute, get in his presence. It's fullness of joy. It dissipates. This, people, this is by faith. This is receiving the water of the Word of God by faith. I'm going to trust you, Lord, with it. You say, well, I don't feel like this. I don't feel like, who cares what you feel like, man? It's by faith. It's not by feelings. Let's go trust Him. Listen, that's why the nut house is full. They ain't got this yet. That's why. All right? He is the sustainer. He is. He's the bishop of our souls. You see, it's the end of guilt right there. It's the end of depression. It's the end of discontentment where in his presence, boy, it takes some work. Hey, does a marriage take some work? Hey, it does. Right? So does your walk with God. It takes some work. It's a relationship. All right? I'll close up here. All right? Sometimes things get to bother me and they get kind of heavy on my mind. I know you're the same way. It's the way we are, you know. And a lot of times it's things we don't have any control over. I have a workshop outside my house. And I have an old wood stove in there. One of those big iron ones, cast iron ones, you know, and put about a wheelbarrow load of wood in that baby if you want, you know, and make it awful hot. But I have a wood stove in there, and this past winter and even some this fall, I've already had that thing fired up, you know. And of course, I have my devotion time and everything, and I meet with the Lord in the morning, and sometimes longer than others. Sometimes I sleep too long, and I think you know what I'm talking about, you know. But there's times I like to go down in that shop, have that old stove going, right? I got one of those folding chairs. I like to put that right in front of the stove. And I put my feet up on that stove. That heat will blow right out from under that draft, you know, and right on my shoes. And boy, I can sit there, and I sit there, and you know I'll have a cup of coffee with me, right? And I'll tell you, when things are bothering me, I'll do that. I'll have to just to get away. Remember, people, you're not going to stay sane if you don't get with the Lord. And I'll pour my heart out to God about whatever's bothering me. And maybe that coffee will get cold and it'll set there because I got stuff to say and he's got stuff to say to me. And whether I'm in Proverbs, whether I'm in the book of Jeremiah or the book of Psalms, makes no matter. And I'll meditate and I'll see and I'll talk to God and I'll let him talk to me and tell me how good he is and how much he loves me and how much he cares about me. And I'll just suck that in for about 40 minutes or so. And I want to tell you, isn't there something in the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, about Abraham meeting with God as friend to friend? Yeah. And Moses is friend to friend. I want to tell you what. There's no friend like Jesus. Hey, listen. What's God speaking to you about tonight? What is it? Listen, we got to have this relationship with him. Listen, there's blessing stems out of this thing. We don't do it for the blessing. We do it because he's worthy. I get that. But listen, there's still fruit from it. We need it. Our families need it. We need it in our lives. Let's go ahead and stand for prayer tonight. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask Pastor to come and we'll have the pianist come. God spoke to your heart and whatever you need to do, listen, you give it over to him. He loves you tonight and he's don't doubt his love. Don't doubt his person. Don't doubt his sacrifice on the cross for you and the resurrection from the dead. Let him have it. Father, thank you for the word of God and for how you love us and how you care about us. And Lord, how you are the one that keeps us really, Lord, strong in this life, emotionally, spiritually, and yes, Lord, physically, and we praise you for that. And thank you, Lord. Please speak to hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen.
In a moment, we'll sing number 470, but you think about that. Verse 13. They forsook the fountains of living waters. You're in church on a Monday night. There were times in my life where any night of the week, a church is the last place I would have been. But on a Monday night, you're looking for the fountain of water. Living water. And it's here. This is a place to receive from God what he has for you. Don't be making your own cisterns, those broken cisterns that can't hold water. You don't need a cistern because you got the fountain of living water that never ceases to provide what we need. Some of you might be going through some tough times tonight in your life, more than just tonight. That's the place where you're going to get what you need. And it might not be deliverance. It might be the grace to be able to endure. But that's available to us, to our God, because he loves us and he cares and he knows. He knows everything about you. And he's got just what you need. Just come to him. The altar's open if you want to take some time to pray this evening. We'll sing the first, second, and last verses of this hymn, number 470, Wonderful Peace.